Dynamite. Hey, everybody. It's the show you record before your wife gets home. Look out. She's at the door.
She's had a very long day, and I don't want to be doing an annoying anime podcast when she gets home.
Think about it. She's had a long day out doing wife stuff.
Yeah, just our frivolous, chill lifestyle we live.
Going to the ring store.
Yeah. Trying on.
You know, not the one where you buy a ring, but the one where you show other people your ring and right. It's a store.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
People pay.
Anyway, it's another one of these. Welcome back behind the paywall for another episode of Ballin' Out
Gundam Times.
Ready?
Go!
Hey, we did
another week of anime pleasure with us, your hosts, Alex and Katie and Jeremy. We're here every week. And our special guest. We love having special guests back behind the paywall because the
We're
content
so
is premium here.
This is where we love to have special guests.
Today we are blessed to have the star that started it all here for our first episode of G Gundam, which we watched many years ago. It's Kath Barbadoro from the What a Time to Be Alive podcast.
Hi.
And
our social
New York.
Circle.
Don't try to pass G Gundam off on Kath. We all know this was your fault, Alex.
Alex chose this
every week.
The way you said that sounded like the clap emojis. Is that what you were going for?
It's growing deeper and deeper. I'm so
yeah, it's like Dark Gundam cells.
I forgot I was here for your first one. It did not help me understand this one that
you
I watched
what?
The first.
It
one.
Shouldn't.
It's so weird.
I don't even think the
48 of these or whatever the fuck, yeah. And I still don't understand.
42.
The rules
Who's counting?
Are not the same
I am.
Anymore.
You know, sometimes I watch them twice, Alex, because I'm that committed to the content.
We only have 9 more, so you have to appreciate them while we have them.
I watched this one twice, and I gleaned no new information the second time.
I was just telling guests
they do not have to watch the show twice because people keep doing it.
Yep. But the thing is, you probably did it for the same reason I did, where I just did that like road hypnosis where you just kind of
yes!
like you find yourself at the end of a scene and you're just like, how did the what?
What
and I
happened?
Like skipped back to the beginning to watch it again and I still have
still
no
nothing.
Closer so, to an idea of why Kyoji was assassinated.
When I was like a sad person in my mid-20s living in Portland, I was really depressed and I was like, I'm gonna watch bad movies and,
sure.
and that's gonna be my thing because I'm white and that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched
what we do.
White people love bad movies.
Yeah.
This is white identity,
get, throw folks. You got a classic? Throw that out the fucking window.
And I've got 14 words for you, okay? The Room is a significant piece of film something, something, something.
For white children.
I got 14 for white children.
Let me just finish
what,
my
14
thought.
Words.
Let me just say, I have 14 words for you and they're all candles.
Okay. Okay. And I watched that movie. It had John Travolta and Robin Williams, and I want to say it was called either Old Dogs, I want to say it was called. And
oh, Road Dogs.
There was Old Dogs and Wild Hogs.
Old Dogs, Road Dogs, and Wild Hogs.
Okay,
and they're all the same movie,
right?
As far as I can tell.
And I watched one of them, so that shows you how much I remember about it. But
there's only two types of men. There's Old Dogs and there's Wild Hogs.
It's and true. Neither of them will hold my hand while we're watching TV.
If you're
emoji.
Looking around your group of friends saying we don't have an old dog or a wild dog,
you're
both?
You're
I don't
both.
Know. What that
you're
means.
Both of them, yeah.
And while I was watching it, I was experiencing actively forgetting it as I was looking at it. And it was
yeah.
like the live experience of living a fever dream in real time. And it was the first time that ever happened to me. And that's how I felt watching this. So thank
I think
you.
That's just how I experience life now because of mm-hmm. the situation yeah. we're all in. I think that's just like, I have no attention span. I have no memory retention whatsoever. And everything kind of like, I feel like everything has this equal impact on me. So it's like, this anime might as well be the news. Like, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
It's just I all mean, kind if... of coming at me at once.
Yeah.
If you want to watch a bad movie, I've got a recommendation for you. The Presidency of Donald Trump.
That's right. my friend.
Damn, absolutely, Alex, that's a lightning hot take.
But yeah, it's so
he's
it's
got
so
his
weird
fingers
how,
on
like,
the button.
Everything is turned into this sort of gray now, where like yeah, everything is at once important and frivolous. Like every day is at once an eternity and also 2 seconds. I feel like we just went into lockdown a day ago, but also I've been in my house for 10 years.
Yeah, man. It's bad for all our brains. It's really not good for us.
I watched 12 Angry Men the other day, and I was freaking out over how close everybody was to each other. This is gonna be like permanent damage to my brain. Oh,
yeah, man.
You know how people say like the people who grew up in the Depression have all this like
yes
hoarding stuff, and that's why boomers are so fucked up. I feel like we're all gonna like R.I.P. Baby Nico, because they're gonna be raised.
Baby Nico is alive. For
stop saying R.I.P. to the baby. He's still in the hospital.
I'm just saying, like, you know, you're gonna give him some. You're gonna give them some generational trauma where it's like, don't stand close to me. We're all gonna have like weird attachment disorders.
Yeah, the
we definitely are. Like our kids of our generation are gonna think we're extremely fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No question.
I messaged.
I'm sorry, I said R.I.P. to your baby. That's not what I.
Well, it's too late. You already said it. And it was pretty much a curse you placed on a child.
Everyone
but
thinks I'm crazy because I keep insulting your baby and saying R.I.P. to it.
It just seems like you want to steal it or get rid of it. Like maybe you think you're Jeremy's baby and he doesn't deserve his own baby, and maybe that's what this is about.
It is anti-Semitic to accuse me of wanting to steal a baby.
Well, that's just what we're all thinking.
All right, Alex, I'm sorry.
Gentile and Jew alike. We all think Katie's trying to get her claws on this baby. Now,
also anti-Semitic to say Katie has claws. That's also a problem.
Oh, thank you.
That's okay. Also
true. I'm loving this Alex backup plan we
also,
have right
by the time
now.
You're hearing this, it's been a couple of days, but I want you to know that it is still stuck in my craw that somebody called me a rat.
Someone called you
a
rat?
Oh my god. I didn't call you a rat. I just said, you know what? Oh no, the other guy called you a rat.
In the email, in the viewer email, they said that I am Rizzo from the Muppets, who is a rat.
Well, because you got an int J on the Myers-Briggs test.
Why is
not
the
here,
rat
no.
an int J? The rat doesn't, like, take care of the Muppet
He's
show.
He's intellectual. He has schemes.
He doesn't make sure the Muppet show
I was talking
happens
about,
on time.
I know, I keep...
Can we focus on Katie being a witch?
Alex, weren't you trying to make a point before you burnt me at the stake here?
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, porque no los dos? But, so I was messaging Sean from the Antifada because I wanted to hear his episode on automation. And he was like, yeah, I think we did something like a month ago. And I looked it up. It was 14 months ago. How do you confuse those two things? That's a year, over a year difference.
To be fair, I still feel like we recorded that Christmas episode that I was super grumpy about like 2 months ago.
This is what Grinch? I'm saying is everything is like time is just warped now in an unreasonable way.
Every day is a winding road.
But at the same
you
time,
get a little
it's
closer.
Also a direct small path. That's what I'm saying is they all just whip right by but then also feel like forever.
And you get a little closer.
We get a little closer to feeling fine every day, I think.
Feeling
right.
fine. That's right.
I feel quite the opposite, Kath.
I think
no,
it's more
I get
just
a little
like
closer to feel fine.
Just numbness, which at this point I like embrace with open arms. I'm like, let's mix all our medicines up and just have a day. Who cares?
I truly can't tell if everyone doesn't know we're quoting a song or if they've just refused to acknowledge that we're quoting a song.
Don't acknowledge it.
No, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing, doing fun, indignant responses.
Okay, okay.
Sorry.
Fair enough. I just was like, is this a podcast where people, like, do bits with each other or, like,
Sometimes
it
it's
more,
against each other.
Is this a yes and podcast or a no but podcast?
But that's
both
the thing
are sometimes equally fun.
The first rule of improv, before you even while you're learning less yes and, the 1A is that sometimes no can be a yes and.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
If within the scene, the no
that's
is
That's to
an
say
elevation.
It's a no but podcast.
It's a no but podcast.
I understand a Sheryl Crow reference when I see it out in the wild, but
I
sometimes
I just want to put some respect on her name.
In a way, G Gundam is kind of a no-butt podcast because they don't seem to follow any of their own rules.
They
introduce something and then immediately decide to move on to the next
thing. They introduce a new thing literally every time, and then they open up each episode talking about stuff like you saw it happen, but it didn't actually ever happen. Right.
It's like Arrested Development when they do the next on, and then it's never what's actually on the next.
Absolutely.
On.
Uh-huh.
It's 100%
I did like
that.
This was probably what 23 minutes. There were 50 characters introduced in 20 minutes. Just an unbelievable. This show has a cast of thousands. It is.
I mean, Kath,
truly
I don't want to gild the lily here or spoil this upcoming stew, but this is a big episode for twists, so I don't want to get into any of those before the recap.
It's hard to figure out what a twist is when you have no baseline for linearity.
I totally get
that. I can't think of a worse episode to bring someone.
Well, we got to watch them all because there's only 51 and this was episode 42.
No, I really admire you guys, your diligence for sticking with this insane show. It's been
this
a long
the
time.
Better
I
half.
Did the first one.
There was a lot of space between that and the second one. We didn't do it right away.
That's good.
But I do feel like a prisoner. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it has been 41 weeks of this,
What's
I suppose.
We're all Argo Kulski in a way.
We're behind the paywall, so I think we should do our regular segment.
Oh,
which
yes,
is,
of course.
The Dark Passenger.
The Dark Passenger.
Beep, beep, all aboard.
Most of them are childless single men who masturbate to anime.
No, not that one. The other one. The
what
the fuck is up?
Japanese.
What the fuck is up, Alex?
Yeah, that's the segment. What the fuck is up? What's been going on with you?
I had like a really annoying few days. I just had like every kind of minor inconvenience sort of compound on me over the last like basically since Thanksgiving, I would say. So, I'm not great. I've probably cumulatively, because I do so many goddamn podcasts, I have made a minor complaint about losing my cell phone for probably a cumulative total of like 45 minutes of podcast time. Just
how
like,
did you lose your cell phone
well,
in the lockdown? Lose,
I, it died. It
yeah,
died.
It's not like it's a mouth guard.
I feel like a mouth guard would be harder to lose. It goes to the spot
right
where it goes.
Lose them all the time.
No,
all
so
the
funny
time.
You say that.
You're constantly losing them.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us about this phone. This
I'm not. It died, and then I couldn't get another one because it was Thanksgiving, and then I couldn't do any work because of two-factor authentication because I didn't have a phone.
Oh,
so I just had to sit in my house and not do anything and wait for UPS to come for like
that
3 days.
Sucks.
It sucks,
well, that's
dude.
Philosophical in a way, isn't it? That you're not Kath without your phone.
Yeah, it made me feel really bad how dependent I am on it. It was a bummer. But
did you learn woodworking?
No, I did absolutely nothing productive, I would say. I bought some stuff online that I shouldn't have bought. That's
I feel like
it.
Anyone who's productive with downtime has never experienced any sort of malaise. You know, like when you talk to someone and you're like, you've never been sad before. Those are the people like... Well, you know, we're all stuck inside, but I learned how to knit, and I'm doing yoga, and I'm like, how can you do anything other
people,
than smoke weed and play video games? Like,
those
I don't
even
understand.
Beaten down at this
it's,
point.
If you're like in, if you're like in better shape now, or like you've like made progress on something during this, like I'm happy for you, but like I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah,
or
get
do
the
you.
Fuck out.
I want to know like who's still making sourdough. You know what I mean? Because like that first couple of weeks, everyone was like, "I'm making sourdough. I'm learning to make bagels."
Now.
Who's still doing it now? Who has like not had 9 months of this kill them?
So I'm sorry for a terrible what the fuck is up, but like I'm really glad I'm doing this tonight because this is fun and I love all of you and talking to you because like otherwise I would probably just be sitting here being. Furious and like staring
just
at a wall.
Looking at the wall being like I wish I could play Snake on you.
I'm coming to terms with that I have a real problem with video game addiction.
Oh yeah.
What you playing these days, dude?
Well, I mean, before I would have things to do, so I'd be playing video games for a long time, but then I'd physically have to do something else. And the thing about right now is I never have to do something else. Almost ever.
Yeah.
The pace of the world is slowed down right by me, and I will just play cards all day on my little phone. Like I have these trading cards, I play them, and I have all these card ideas, and I I'd go to the take a shower. I'm just thinking of more cards.
What, like, put type cards of cards together. Are we talking here? I know there's a lot of
like
different
Magic
card
the Gatherings,
games.
Essentially. Yeah, but wizards and lady barbarians and the like, and reptile warriors and
I'm gonna like
Spren.
Really regret saying this out loud, but so one of my partner sells magic cards for money, and it's like the stock market where you sit around and wait. The prices fluctuate every day, and he literally made $1,000 this week.
Damn.
Selling.
I want to make $1,000 one day.
I know, right?
That,
I was thinking, now that I'm going to be in my 30s, I should aim to make $30,000.
Yeah, I think you could do it.
I think you could absolutely accomplish that.
Yeah, I believe in
it. It hasn't happened yet.
I have a lot of faith in you, Alex. I think you can do this. Yeah.
How
man,
many podcasts do I need to start?
I was going to say, you can try getting a job.
Video game addiction. I am playing way too much City Skylines, and I can't wait for my baby to come home so I have an excuse to stop.
I know you mean your literal child, but I was thinking it was your wife.
You can't wait for my baby
like tonight,
to come
I need
home.
My baby to come home.
No, my
set
literal
me
child.
With her loving.
I need an excuse to stop working on this project or else I will keep doing it forever.
I love like, to think of you at your child's wedding in the future and you like giving a heartfelt speech like, I was... Before you came along, I had a deadly addiction to City Skylines, and
you
I never would have stopped.
You saved my life. I was about to start on a whole new bike and pedestrian bridge to connect two parts of town that are really underserved.
I feel like what's happened to you, what's happened in the last, like, since your baby was born, but also just, like, this whole situation is, like, you got, like, okay, you're going to miss being able to play video games when you have a baby. So it's going to be like when you catch a kid with a cigarette and you make him smoke the whole pack. Like, literally the only thing you can do is play video games. So you are going to hate them after this. Like, you will associate them with this, like, stressful time in your life and you will no longer enjoy them.
Yes.
And you will
see
just
this
become
baby?
A father.
Put your hand on this mouse and don't you take it off until your baby comes home. And you just wrap them around your baby. Hold
like,
them
are
close to
your
breast.
Are these cards in your phone? Do you pay for them or are they just random?
Well, you don't have to, but I have because I'm hooked on the stuff.
Yeah, of course you have. Yeah, so are you like, do you still enjoy the game though? Or are you find you're like just doing it for the fix at this point?
I found the outset of my personality is such that if I do not engage with certain structures under very specific rules and regulations, they really spiral out of control into a boundless wasteland where the imagination runs dry and the gulch of enjoyability is not one you can escape. And so if I don't sit down and say I'm going to play 5 games or I'm going to play for a half hour or I'm going to play until an hour before I go to bed, I just like it's been 4 hours and I'm pissed now.
So it is a fixed thing.
Yeah, man. It's a black hole. Do we have a dark passenger this week?
No, I did not pull one up.
Yeah, I didn't think we did.
I could pull up an old one.
Yeah, yeah. Let
why not? You guys shoot the shit
get on the net.
And I'll pull up a little classic.
Okay. All
right. I don't know what's happening right now, but I'm just gonna go with it. What is a dark passenger?
So
oh,
glad
oh well,
you
dark passenger.
You guys explain it while I look for one.
We have a recurring segment where we read forums of right-wing blogs that focus on anime and impart lessons about the world or masculinity.
Like masculinity talk.
A lot of men's rights happening.
Sure.
And we explore them. Jeremy is pretty good at finding them, usually right quick.
I mean, to be fair, like, that is a lot of the internet. I don't think they're that hard to find.
See, so you'd think that. But the problem is that there's a whole lot of, like, tweets about it, or there's a lot of like Reddit posts about it. There's not a lot of people like sitting down, putting pen to paper, and like really writing a piece about like why Goku is like the masculine epic.
Yeah. I can see
no
that.
One goes long form these days.
Yeah,
this is a problem.
Content these days, it's so short. You know, it's like Quibi
it's these
for
millennials
the men's rights movement. You know,
Right. And also women are keeping them down. So that's big obstacle.
Right. It's even harder to, you know, actually get it done because your mom is nagging you. So.
Oh, wait. I have something we could talk about. I finally watched Backdraft.
Oh, yes.
So Alex texted me about it. And he's like, Katie, do I have to watch Backdraft 1 before I watch Backdraft 2? And I was like, you shouldn't watch any Backdraft. But yes. And I felt bad because I was trying to convey to you that the hilarity that is Backdraft is mostly that I get trapped with my Italian-ass family watching it every year and not that it's good or fun.
Right. Well, it is interesting in a way because I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm white, so I like watching bad movies. Right. I think it's a funny thing I do. And so I went into watching this and I was cracking my knuckles and I got the mayonnaise out. I got a big spoon in it. And it's me and my lady. We're on Thanksgiving Eve, you know, retired to our Backdraft. And I'm watching this thing, and I didn't realize it was like a 90s American classic. It's a Ron Howard film.
Yeah.
So there's like a, what's his name? The fancy composer, John Williams score to it, where it's like, ba-da-da-ba-ba, and then it's Men Fighting Fires, but it's over 2 hours long.
Yeah, it's absolutely unreasonable.
That's why you want to start with Backdraft 2.
And just like stuff is like not happening the entire time, but it's a who's who of like every famous actor is a firefighter in Chicago.
The bad guy is fire.
Yeah. Also,
why is all the fire stuff based in Chicago?
Because real Irish.
Just
because
of that one
bastard.
Famous fire.
Yeah, they had a really famous fire.
But that's
because
like,
it burned the whole thing down.
That.
Except like, didn't like a cow do that?
A cow kicked over a bucket.
It's a myth. It's a dangerous myth, and that cow deserves better.
Unfair to cows. Unfair to buckets. Very unfair.
Okay, speaking
justice
of
for buckets.
Speaking of white
say
identity.
Its name.
Speaking of white identity.
Hey, we were just speaking of that.
My roommates must think I'm recording something so insane because I've been like yelling about the 14 words and now we're talking about white identity. They're like, what is she doing in there?
Hey, just wait until this baby gets home.
So speaking of white identity, we're coming back to an old classic, returnofkings.com.
Oh, the king.
One of the old school ones.
Old school one. Who, by the way, have not had a new article in 2 years. They've been on hiatus for 2 years because Roosh went to become an Orthodox something or another.
Right. Yeah, he can't write about going on sex tourism trips anymore. So.
Yeah.
He gave up his crown.
But this is an old classic from the site that I don't think we ever got around to reading. This is from 2017, so a different internet altogether. But this is 9 things that geek feminism ruined.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Just
there's
a nice nostalgic
girls.
Trip to this kind of internet, huh?
I mean, if you can stop it
a
at
simpler
nine.
Time.
They took everything from me.
Naya, I can't wait to fucking ruin Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I put a gay kiss in Star Wars. We did it.
Putting women in fucking
Star Wars. Right. If you come for Buckaroo Banzai, I'll kill you.
All female reboot of Young Einstein. Eat a dick, Return of Kings.
All right. Come on. From comics, movies, anime, gaming, and now the more recent kids shows, feminists will use any kind of tactic to promote their evil. Mm. Stories like Rapunzel or The Sleeping Beauty have been a part of our childhood, teaching us about gender roles and the importance of them.
Is that it? I think it's just teaching you not to trust your stepmother.
Yeah. A lot of stepmother slander in there. That's who should be really writing this article and complaining is stepmothers.
Stepmothers, really.
I remember as a boy listening to these kinds of like sleeping girl stories and just being like, this is how you get a kiss. They gotta be
asleep.
In a cursed sleep. It's the only appropriate way.
Oh, right, no. It's the only chivalrous time to kiss them.
I don't want
to
be weird, but if it will stop a poison of some kind.
Now they have been changed in various ways to suit modern women, giving them unrealistic expectations of what they can be.
Okay.
Here are 9 characters that show how they have infiltrated entertainment.
Uh-huh.
So this first one is Steven Universe.
Oh yeah, classic.
Never seen it.
But
I know
so
that
mad about.
I know that men get really mad about it.
It's
that
because
used to be
it,
for men.
It's a girl show, and the you know it's got like queer elements, but it's mostly just like a sissy show for little kids. Why are they mad?
That's what's weird about this whole premise is they're claiming things as male, which is like, all right, video games, whatever. Like, yes, we've been there. That makes sense to me.
Right.
That this type of guy would think that that's for men. But kid shows is a weird addition of like, this is specifically, kid shows are for little boys. They're not for little girls.
Right.
And if there's
that
feminine
show
elements, that's
was
bad.
Was created by a woman for like little kids and probably girls. It's like basically
it's for queer children. That's who this is for.
It's a Western take on Magical Girls.
Yeah.
Which is a thing for girls. So.
All right.
I don't know. You know what I mean. Gender.
The show deals with an entire species that is genderless, but has feminine traits. Steven is a male protagonist that is not masculine in a lot of ways. Rather than being the strong fighter type, he acts through femininity despite being male. He cries for help from women rather than helping himself. The show contains trans, queer, and homosexual characters, which is typical for a show like this. They have women of different sizes.
It's the only
sizes
show like that.
And quite a dark storyline for a show aimed at children. Cartoon Network is now giving away for brainwashing, glorifying obese women and unhealthy diets. They even place the emphasis on disguised leftist.
Alex's computer has frozen. That's not him doing
it. I definitely thought he was just thinking this whole time.
I thought
time
he was just doing the thing.
Okay. He texted me. Hold on.
Jeremy, tell us about
Wonder Woman.
Black women.
We're still talking about Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman remains a feminist icon 75 years after her creation because she symbolizes the idea of female domination. According to the New York Post, Wonder Woman was not feminist enough for social justice warriors because SJWs and feminists are never happy with anything in society until white men are silenced.
It was because a pervert made it. It's because a pervert made it, not because of all of that.
This rules. This is like...
It was literally for jerking off. Like, it's not even...
Dude, this reads like I wrote it, though. This is like a joke version of this.
What he really means is that women can't... It sounds like this guy can never be satisfied, because it's like, okay, here's this thing that is jerk-off material about women, and he's like, it's too feminist.
Too feminist.
Proof that they can never be satisfied.
I will never be topped. This next one is Batgirl.
You can never make me squirt.
Batgirl. Buffy the Vampire Slayer creator Joss Whedon is allegedly a woke male feminist ally.
Alleged. I'm not trying to get sued.
Whoops.
Oh, I haven't seen this word in a long time. He's a mangina, allegedly known for directing strong female characters.
This is such a sweet time capsule back to just another world. It's so nice.
It kind of feels nice.
If you look at who wrote it was actually written by Fat Bastard.
Oh, wait. Do you want me to read the little bio of the guy who wrote it? His name is Ryan Asheville. He's a gingery looking guy with a beard that doesn't connect the mustache to the rest of the beard.
Nice.
His bio says, I'm a heterosexual anti-feminist and a conservative male, a frequent news watcher, and I dedicate my findings to various MRA sites and anti-feminist authors.
Frequent news watcher. That's a good sign.
I enjoy swimming, hiking, and observing mainstream entertainment and masculine literature.
I enjoy breathing air and eating when hungry.
My favorite meal? Why, a hungry man frozen dinner. The kind made for me.
All right, back to Batgirl. And for whatever reason, Joss Whedon, did he make a Batgirl?
I think there was a TV show or he wrote it.
Or is he just a mangina?
I think he's just a mangina, which is a word I hadn't heard since Step Brothers.
So long. Been a really long time. He cares about fake women's issues, like the pay gap and the alleged success of Lady Ghostbusters.
No one cares about Lady Ghostbusters except this, except dudes who write for this website. They're the only people who care about Lady Ghostbusters.
The rest of the world saw Lady Ghostbusters and they were like, huh, All right. A shitty movie, I guess.
Yeah, everyone was like, it's whatever. Fine. Bye.
Like, no one Stay Puft Marshmallow Woman! A Stay Puft Marshmallow Woman!
Joss is directing Batgirl, the story about a superheroine who is basically Batman, but a woman. Currently, he's facing backlash on Twitter, but in smaller amounts due to more and more people accepting these kinds of reboots. That's the whole thing that he wrote about that.
But Batwoman is a long-established character. She's been around. Yeah,
and she gets paralyzed and she becomes the Oracle, right?
Yeah.
In some interpretations, yes.
This article is full of inaccuracies.
Yeah.
What I've come to expect. Kingdom of Men, I think
Return
of...
Return of Kings.
Return of Kings.
Kingdom of Men would be a good name.
I think of journalistic integrity.
All right, next up is Overwatch.
Yes.
A game I never played, but
Overwatch,
I know the women from Pornhub.
Such freaks. People are so weird. There's so much porn about Overwatch.
So
I think
porn.
I remember
Every
this one.
Every side
is.
Banner ad on Pornhub for the past, like, decade has been Overwatch.
Is this the one that people got? Is he mad because the main girl is, like, a little chubby? Is that the one? There's one video game where there's, like, a girl who's, like, slightly chubby and everyone, like, lost their minds. But
this
it's not
one
Overwatch?
Is a lesbian. This is the game Eli plays, and Eli's mad that Tracer is a lesbian.
Eli's mad about this.
Eli's mad about
that. Take that
specifically
up with
Eli.
I love that.
Say his name, Alex. We must speak the truth.
But speaking of, like, gaming controversies, I love that people got so mad about the idea that you could be genderqueer in the Modern Warfare Cold War game.
That's legitimately very funny.
It's so fucking funny. I mean, there's so many parts of it that are funny, but just the fact that, like, you
the
got
CIA
every other part of this game.
The
you
best
got
they
you
can.
Got so much out of this game. Why did you need that too?
Insane.
Okay, this game, Overwatch, is tainted by women who blame their problems on men. Oh. Basically, every character in Overwatch has different victory pose animations that a player can unlock and choose from. And for the time-traveling character Tracer, one of the female characters in the game, her victory pose gives players a wonderful view of her buttocks, clad in skin-tight leggings. Obviously, if men are enjoying something, there must be feminist intervention. So Blizzard changed her appearance and stated, "We'll replace the pose. We want everyone to feel strong and heroic in our community. The last thing we want to do is make someone feel uncomfortable, underappreciated, or misrepresented. Apologies, and we'll continue to try to do better." Women expose themselves to men. Women expose themselves to men in conventions, and when they are assaulted, they complain that men should respect women.
Woo!
Wow. Just fully going for it there.
He calls it assault.
Yeah, he calls it assault. Like, he'll give you that, but he's like, yeah, it's a little bit of assault, but I mean, come on.
Well, come on, you're dressed like Tracer from Overwatch.
Yeah, it's kind of contributes to it, because they're, like, basically saying, like, how dare you put more clothes on this woman? Like, that's so stupid to make us think that, like, we'd respect her more if she just wore more clothes. And then when people cosplay as them, they get fucking assaulted. Like, you can't do both. You have to pick one, at least. Like, that's amazing. That's so good. I mean, it's awful, but it's very good.
No, it's like the mental gymnastics is really admirable
sometimes. It's excellent. It's really good stuff.
What the fuck? Okay, so I'm going to skip Wandering Sun because I don't know what this is. Okay. But Splash...
Like
next.
The movie from the 80s?
Yes. The 80s
what?
Film starring Tom Hanks
what?
And Daryl Hannah is set for a reboot with Channing Tatum starring as the Merman. I guess that came out probably because this is 2017.
I mean, it probably, like, everything was going to get rebooted and then, like,
but
they
also,
never did half of them.
Like, he's a himbo. That's, like, what are you supposed to do?
Like, that is, like, the perfect project for him, for sure.
Yeah, just, like...
But I'm sure they're going to get mad because it's going to be about objectifying Channing Tatum, right?
Well, you
it's like,
would
yeah.
say that as a...
Oh, we're up to...
Female
terrorist. Wouldn't they like that? Because he's projecting, like, male desirability.
Yeah.
And, like,
no,
the, given the
not
gift
what
of
about.
Water
No,
because
it's women are being horny for a man that isn't them, so it's a problem.
Oh, okay.
I have dreadful news. Folks, as of 2019, January of 2019, Splash remake with Channing Tatum is happening soon.
Woo! Okay.
Yes.
2 years ago, or a year and a half ago.
Okay, so Splash, the original Splash was about a man who falls in love with a mermaid who rescued him when he was a boy. Their relationship is hampered somewhat by the fact that the mermaid, who later names herself Madison, has to return to the sea after just a few short days, and also by the deranged scientist determined to prove that merpeople are real by throwing water at her.
Right, because then she turns back into a mermaid.
Right.
Here's the thing. Splash was not that big of a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a blockbuster movie, but like when you think of hits of the 80s, it's
yeah,
like,
it's not. It's like a VHS.
Dude, this is like
it's a thing that's always on sale at like a Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I was talking to Bryn about this the other day that I thought of like Addams Family Values as this like quintessential 90s movie, and then I looked at the Wikipedia and it like ate shit at the box office because it came out a week before Mrs. Doubtfire and nobody saw it.
But I feel like that's like, another one that like in rental got like had another life in rental. I think that's like I feel like that's a seminal movie, but I don't know, maybe just for like people that went through goth phases.
Or what about the live action Flintstones?
No, that's
I saw that at a
everyone
drive-in.
Saw that.
I didn't see it because I knew it was a flop, man.
Yeah, you no, like little 7 year old you was like, that's a flop.
Well, my dad was
box office poison.
My dad worked for Entertainment News, and he like poisoned my mind with all this like, general media shit. So like, I would just spit out stuff he would say.
Aww.
Like, that looks like garbage, and I'd be like, yeah, it's trash. And now the degenerate isn't funny in person. My dad said.
Rat race, why not just throw your money away?
Basically.
Since the announcement of Splash with Channing Tatum, many feminists have been celebrating the gender swap on social media, particularly Tatum's casting as a merman as some kind of a feminist victory. But why? Because of the casting of a white, straight male in a role that was originally held by a woman, Hollywood's content has become more man-hating than ever before. Seeing men in feminine roles is a way of brainwashing men to be submissive and less masculine. Don't you see the young boys are going to grow up seeing a
jacked
Chad
a merman
with a fish bottom, and they're gonna get confused.
Right. Is that the part that's not masculine? Is that he's a part fish? Like,
fish
I'm
bottom.
Very confused about why this is a inherently feminine to be a mermaid. I mean,
by casting Channing Tatum as this mermaid, we are essentially telling all men to go jump in a lake.
Also, I thought he was going to try to do like a, I thought he was going to do like a sneaky little, like, when he says, because of casting a white straight male in a role that was originally held by a woman, I thought he was going to be like, what's so woke about that? You took a job from a woman.
But nope.
This
not
guy is
smart
not
enough
smart
to
enough
synthesize
that
argument.
All right, wrap it up.
All right.
Jesus.
Skipping ahead to the
so
last one of
these are long
seems,
sometimes.
They can be quite long, yeah. Skipping to the last thing that seems worth a damn at all. Sailor Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Don't let women have that.
And it's a picture of a man with a long goatee dressed up as Sailor Moon, and the subtitle says, cross-dressing degenerate. Sailor Moon redefined the, quote, magical girl genre in its native Japan, and its overseas influence has shown up in girl power shows like the Powerpuff Girls, and is the definition of a feminist anime.
Have they watched that show? It's all about, like, falling in love and, like,
and being rescued by a man in a tuxedo all the time.
And, like, buying jewelry and, like, shopping. I love Sailor Moon, and there's, but it's just not. It's just not.
My favorite one is the one where she tries to deal with her weight problem, and then it's just like, I guess I am fat, and then the episode just ends.
Yeah.
All right. She doesn't look any different for it.
Yeah, that's true.
To, like,
even in the original series, they're always calling her overweight, and she's like a stick.
She's so tiny.
Yeah.
Haruka and Michiru, the series' Sailor Uranus and Neptune,
are
were
gay.
A lesbian couple
They're
who
gay.
Helped girls around the world come to terms with their sexuality. Sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
In parentheses, lesbian propaganda.
I feel like he should do a little more to like make the first part like alleged or something, and not just like, here's what it did, but yeah, here's what I think. Like,
or intersperse your take into that so that you don't make it sound good and then do something at the end where you're like, by the way, that's bad.
Right.
Lesbian propaganda.
That's so crazy.
The series also makes
a start using.
What?
Lesbian propaganda?
I do want to see, yeah.
Lesbian propaganda.
Just things I don't like.
The series also makes a point of looking down on femininity by showing how the less feminine girls have trouble coping with gender roles.
That's
like
just
how,
not true.
Makoto? Is her name Makoto?
Yeah, Makoto in the original one. Yeah, because Sailor Jupiter. She loves... The only thing is that she's tall, so it scares boys off, but she actually
right.
loves to cook and is, like, super domestic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and she loves,
like,
Irish independence.
Yes, right. That too.
By showing how the less feminine girls have trouble coping with gender roles, like how Makoto learned to cook because she was teased for being a tomboy. Though, I somewhat find it astonishing that the creator of the site Anime Feminist doesn't care about, quote, fan service, which is what the fuck? This is a weird ass sentence. Fan service, which is short softcore porn scenes. It occurred to me because they know about the female supremacy in anime. What the fuck is he talking about?
I have no idea what that means. I cannot.
Is he like does he have like some beef with the anime feminist people or something?
He's mad with a specific blogger.
Yeah.
And he's trying to bring it into this argument, and
yeah.
it doesn't have a spot.
And
basically, and
it's 2017, so who the fuck knows what it could have ever possibly meant.
So he's just yeah. beefing with an anime feminist blog. He just needed yeah. to get out his like letter to the editor there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
So conclusion. modern entertainment is becoming more about social justice than hardware, software, story, gameplay, or animation. While we get to endure feminists complain about everything they don't like, ruining entertainments we were once able to enjoy. I've never seen somebody say entertainments before.
Also,
entertainments
like,
we were once.
I want to watch some entertainments about hardware. I'm sick of not having any.
I want entertainments focused on hammer and nail, like my forefather.
Chop down tree show.
Well, that's that.
Amazing
Women
stuff.
Women should stick to software because they're soft.
That guy's like for sure dead now, right? The guy who wrote that? 100%. He's like in jail or dead.
Oh, he caught COVID the first week because he was licking door handles.
His Facebook is linked to the...
oh, see how... Give me an update. See, let's see how he's doing.
Oh, he has a Facebook community called Anime is Misandric.
Which is hilarious because it couldn't be the most opposite. And it's like nothing but swinging natties and like dudes like... There's like... Even like girl shows, there's always like narratives like... I have to be demure so I can win his love. And they're like, yes, that's the moral of the story.
Yeah. You'll find no surprise here. He has not posted anything since April of 2017.
I hope he's moved on with his life and like isn't an idiot
Wouldn't
anymore.
That be great?
Maybe
be
he's what? Married to the blogger of anime feminism.
One of my big fears, though, is that like these people turned out to like, one of these people we're going to find out turned out to be, like, a Bernie guy. He just, like, saw the light at some point and became a Bernie guy. But then we're going to have to, like, hear about it at some point. They're going to be like, oh, my God, I prayed that you would never find my
article. It's fucking, it's David Sirota. This David Sirota wrote this.
All right, we got to talk about the shitty show.
Yeah, you guys
got to
talk about the show. I got to go help my wife.
Fuck you, Jeremy.
Thank you for
classic wife guy.
But I'll have you know I did watch the episode, and I am mad about it.
What's your out of 7 Dragon Balls, Jeremy, before you leave?
Oh, wow. Gonna go ahead and give it 3 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Okay, I understand
There was
that.
Some
All
action,
right.
but otherwise it was trash.
Spread.
talk about Mobile Fighter G Gundam, episode 42.
Ready? Go.
No, wait. Episode 42. Assault of the Four Evil Kings, Soaring Raving Gundam. Gundam recap ready?
Go!
Oh!
Hey, fun fact out the gate. What the fuck are Four Evil Kings? I've watched every episode of the show. What is
it's a
happening?
Christian reference.
There is so... And it's this show, but it's like every anime show about fighting. Every show has more lore than Christianity. Like, there's so much lore. Every other word out of someone's mouth is like, oh, there's a new alliance. And like, look at our crests and like our magic rings. And like, I'm like, I don't know. What is all of this? There's so many items. There's so many enchanted, like, magical things and people. And
in a way, I envy you because, like, coming in cold, you can just be confused and then blame it on not knowing things.
Right.
I have invested months of my life in this show, and I still can't tell you what any of that shit is.
There's just, like, a lot of bureaucracy in this world.
Two members of the Shuffle Alliance.
There is a lot of bureaucracy.
There's, like, a lot of organizations. There's, like, S-Corps and alliances and, like, federations, and it's just a lot.
Yeah, Alex, get into it, because I also don't understand what happens. Maybe
well, here's the thing is, a lot of this is metaphor. So the night Jesus was born, there were four evil kings who had to find his star and fight him with their Dark Gundam cells. And this is kind of an allusion to that. As we all remember from the last episode, these climactic events are from now on are taking place on Lantau Island, an island west of Hong Kong, which we all know of. We have vacation on Lantau Island, and we're
excited
to go back there.
Domon
is there. Right, right. Because they had a battle royale at the end of the tournament where none of the other matches in the tournament counted because it was all leading to the battle royale and no one was actually eliminated. And Domon has found out that somehow the goddamn Dark Gundam has gotten on this thing.
Again.
And he's causing ruckus everywhere.
Right.
He's got Gundam,
like,
snake heads popping on the ground.
Once again, this is supposed to be a highly sanctioned international event, and yet there seems to be no rules, and then all rules.
There's like, it's the worst of all worlds, because there's like so many rules, and none of them are respected by anyone. Like, they're just there to be stated so that something happens between people fighting, but then they are completely ignored.
The best example of this is the Shuffle Alliance, which is a big factor all of a sudden again, which is that they have little crests on their hands that glow when there's a Dark Gundam.
They don't actually do anything or mean anything for some
reason.
Wouldn't
you know it, there's a Dark Gundam, so they're all glowing, and they're like, this is a big deal for the Shuffle Alliance. And Domon is locked in pitched combat with Soaring Raven Gundam, his arch nemesis, Michelo Chariot from Italy. Huge episode development. Soaring Raven Gundam is matched with Michelo Chariot. This whole entire time, I couldn't figure out what Michelo Chariot's deal was. He's supposed to sound like a bird.
Oh, okay. It took me about 10 minutes to realize his name was Niccolo and not Michelob.
I thought
his name was Michelob.
What? He's the Italian guy from, like, the very first episode, Alex?
I think he's in, like, the second or third episode, but
okay.
Yeah, he's Michelo Chariot. He's just a psycho bird from space.
He's just so real. Cut him up,
psycho. They, like, give all these expansive backstories to these characters, and it doesn't matter at all, except Michelo Chariot, who's just like, he's just a crazy bitch. No one knows what he wants. So he's kind of the enemy this episode, and there's a lot of fighting with him. But we're burying the key drama here that I really want to sink my teeth into, which is this android twist.
Right.
Schwartz Bruder, the fighter from Neo Germany. I'm sorry, Katie. What'd you say?
Oh, I was just going Kyoji. That's all.
Kyoji!
Thank you.
Kyoji is, he's in a coma. And Rain has burst into his hospital room to do doctor spying on
and
him.
And it turns out he's a robot?
but wouldn't you know it, the doctors don't know what to do with it because it turns out he's a robot. And that was the twist last episode. And so now all the other doctors have left the room because they were scared of an earthquake, except for her father.
It's like, it sounds like a little kid like trying to describe their dream. It's like, and then there was a secret fighter, but then the secret fighter is my brother, but it's not my brother, it's a robot, and then there's an earthquake, and then my dad fixes everything.
It's like when, you know, when a little kid like starts telling you something real but then starts lying, and they're little kids, so they don't realize how obvious it is about the aspects of their story that are clearly not true. That's what it sounds like. Where it's like, oh yeah, all the doctors left, like, okay, that part's true because they were afraid of an earthquake. That's not right. That can't be correct.
Well, the only one who wasn't afraid of the earthquake was Dr. Mikamura, Rain's father. And so she's hiding behind some crates watching him, and he picks up this surgery knife, and he goes, hey, Kyoji, how you doing over there? And he's creeping towards him. And then he starts muttering to himself kind of menacingly, and this is a whole new take on this guy who's been nothing but nice for 40 episodes. All of a sudden, he's like, you stupid fucking android.
That's the thing! He's been, like, the only consistent good guy in the entire show. And they're like, JK, bitch.
Nope. Twist!
He's the real bad guy. He says things like, how dare you get in my way, you stupid android. And he goes, your power converter is damaged, isn't it, Kyoji? Which means you can't stop my knife! And he goes to go stab him. And Kyoji has just enough power to hold his wrist. And then he says out loud, I plan to eliminate those who know the truth behind the Dark Gundam incident.
You know, I love that jam band, the Dark Gundam incident.
Maybe the most Japanese sentence in the entire show.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's so clearly translated because it's like, no, there. What is the opposite of concise? Like, how like, much more extraneous information could you have put in there to say, the like, I'm going to kill booming. You? Like... The Dark Gundam incident.
I know, the dubbing
good.
In this show is so funny because it is like a imitation of bad anime dubbing. It's like Speed Racer. Like, everyone's speaking so quickly to fit the amount of words in the mouth sequence animation.
I have a friend who does that. I can't remember. He hasn't done any animes that, like, any super notable ones, but he does dubbing for anime, and he says that it's like... He does voices, and he's like, it's an entirely separate skill you have to learn if you do dubbing to try to match the length of what they're saying. Like, it's completely different than doing voices, and it makes you say really stupid shit in
That's
a very
fascinating.
Stupid way. You should have him on. He doesn't know anything about anime except that he has done a bunch of dubbing for it.
That makes me so happy because, you know, so many like super nerds, it's like their dream profession to be a dubbing, and I love that like the people who do it are just actors who are like, this dumb shit, all right,
yeah, he's
let's
just
go.
He's a comic that does impressions, like he doesn't know anything about anime.
Yes,
he's just
yes,
like,
that's what I want
to
hear.
Exactly, yeah. He's gone to some conventions though, and he's like, yeah, people really like it, but they always ask me questions and I cannot answer them.
Yeah, you're
so.
Like, I don't know, I ate they brought catering that day, and it was only so-so.
Yeah.
If somebody listening to this show has the power to pick that job, give me that job, please.
Make a reel, Alex. It can't be that hard. You got a silly-ass voice.
I don't know. I don't know how to get hired for things. It's never happened before. Just do it. Just get
right.
it done.
All right. Well,
the ball's in your court.
Yeah, this behind the paywall episode for like 300 people or whatever. I'm sure one of them knows somebody.
Look, they're rich people. They have money to give you, so maybe they're well connected.
They're well connected. They got a lot of cash. It's kind of like my super mode.
Can keep going. Because I don't know what happened, so you have to tell me.
Okay, so yeah, he has to eliminate all those who know the truth behind the Dark Gundam incident.
Sure.
And it cuts away from him. And, oh, wait, no, it doesn't cut away from him yet. Rain, his daughter, is just, like, behind his elbow and is like, Dad, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, shit, oh, fuck.
Fuck me,
and he
I
drops
guess.
The
Found
knife.
Out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I mean, what were the odds your daughter would be hiding behind a stack of crates in that
You remember
room?
Last week when she went undercover as a doctor, but she is a doctor.
She is a doctor. Doctors can't identify other doctors. It's their one weakness.
It's true. They have doctor blindness.
Yeah. You have to as a doctor. Everyone's a patient to you. But we cut back to the fight for a little bit, and they're doing fire tornadoes. Soaring Raven Gundam is doing fire tornadoes. And Domon kind of gives you some context as to what's going on. He says, "I won't be defeated by your lame techniques!"
I also wrote that down as a good translated phrase.
Lame!
Your lame techniques.
Your techniques are lame and your shoes are whack!
Okay, so we got back to the android room, because that's obviously where the drama is this episode. Dr. Mikamura has frozen up and just, like, goes catatonic. He just, like, wanders off into a corner and we don't hear from him again.
Alex, real fast, your audio is coming through the computer, but instead of restarting everything, why don't you just lean closer to it so we can hear you better?
What?
Your audio is now the external mic again, so you should just bring the computer closer to you. It's because I would.
When did that happen?
I don't know, man, but that's what's happening. So, like, I.
No!
It's going to be such a pain in the ass to restart everything again, so just.
Okay,
just,
how is this?
Yes, that's good.
That's good.
Man, this is going to be the worst edit of my life. Look at all these tracks. There's 13 tracks.
Sorry, babe.
None of them are going to go together.
I'm on a delay.
I'm not going to be able to match it up. Oh, my God.
I believe in you, Alex. You're so strong.
I had to do an edit like that earlier today, so I'm sending you my love.
And I just want to cry. I want to cry like Dr. Mikamura, whose dark secrets have been revealed to his daughter. So Raiden refuses to leave until she hears an explanation, and he really blows it. He just goes in a corner, so Kyoji is like, "Well, I may be an android, but I know how to tell a story." And back when I was working on the Dark Gundam, back when I was a boy, we didn't call it the Dark Gundam. We called it the Ultimate Gundam.
Fun fact.
Same thing.
Good. So we have an additional name for something that I still don't really understand what it is. But now it will be known by two separate things. Just to make things easier for me.
Yeah.
Right, but don't get confused.
We just want to make sure you don't understand as much as possible.
No problems. Same gun.
It's amazing how much can happen and how little can happen at the same time. It's incredible.
I love that this is like a worst case scenario for someone who doesn't regularly watch anime. Like, this is like the pinnacle of like what bad anime is and what everyone who doesn't watch anime thinks anime is like. And I
know
honestly,
a lot of it is very good. I promise not to take this as a generalizable experience.
I'm just apologizing because, like, I am supposed to like this stuff and I hate it. Flames. Passion. Keep going, Alex.
It's great.
Dance for me.
This may be the white boy talking, but.
Why are you so
because it's
mad
bad.
At me about that? Why are you so mad at me this week?
I'm not
I
mad
love
at you.
You're
I think
my
you
friend.
Hit on a universal truth, Katie, because you're a truth.
Yeah,
teacher.
I think it's funny.
Okay, great. Thank you guys for reassuring me.
Well, I have to explain this dark origin because this is a big episode.
Please
do.
The dark origin.
Yeah, they don't call it the Dark Gundam. They call it the Big Guy. And we were making it just to recycle cans. But it can replicate itself and it's self-evolve and
it's a whole mess of shit.
Yeah.
And it can make snake heads out of the ground is pretty much what that means. And so, wouldn't you know, the military got very interested. And goddamn Alube got involved. He's the real bad guy this whole show, Alube. And you're thinking, well, who's Alube? The guy with the mask that everyone in these series has to have?
Oh.
Is goddamn Alube. He's been the bad guy this whole time.
We see
for 42 episodes, he's been the bad guy. And you don't know who he is?
We've seen him for literally 20 seconds this whole show.
Well, he'll show up and he'll be like, does anybody want coffee?
Does this like this one. Has to make more sense in Japanese, right?
No, so a couple of episodes ago, a fan wrote in and told us that what happened was it's like one guy was creating Gundam for a while because there's like a bunch of the series and they're all vaguely the same world, and then Bandai bought them and cut that guy out, and they're like, we need to make toys. And so this is written by a bunch of executives because literally the next year, one of the best Gundam series of all time comes out, and it's like night and day. So it's just basically this is just a bunch of like coked out toy execs like, need more different types of robots. Yes. We need a thing in a super mode.
This makes so much more sense to me now.
Yeah.
Like I knew all like a lot of these shows are just to sell toys, but it's like, no, this one was written by the people selling the toys.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Just chomping on a cigar going, what if the snakehead comes out of the ground? Yeah, we can sell a hose look like a snakehead. Be a dark Gundam hose. Anyway, so Alube is a bad guy all along, and we all know what he does, and Kyoji saw his mother get shot by the military as part of a routine drill in capturing the Dark Gundam.
Whoops.
And he hopped in the thing and went to Earth. And of course they put his father in a cryogenic tank.
Right. To keep him from talking. I wrote that down because it was very funny to me. Like, we need to keep this guy from talking. Let's
Why not just freeze kill him? At that point?
Or like, why don't you just shoot him out a cannon into outer space? Like, they're just, literally like...
There are a lot of cheaper options. I'll say that. There are a lot of cheaper ways to solve this problem.
Someone's paying for that upkeep to keep that freezer on.
Yeah.
If you're wondering where your tax money goes, I mean, look no further than the cryogenic tank prisons. So she cuts out of this flashback and she's like, oh, and also they rope her dad in with this whole thing. She's like, her dad ratted your dad out. Or Domon's dad. It was a dad on dad crime, and my dad was jealous of the dad
so
Gundam.
So sick of this dad on dad crime.
The dad Gundam.
Come to the dad side of Chicago and look at the crime statistics. Rain's Dr. Mikamuro's a bad guy. He ratted him out because he was jealous. He was jealous that he made an emotions-based Gundam. And instead, Dr. Cashew made this sweet-ass Dark Gundam, which is, like, it is funny to think that they were, like, both working on the same idea. One of them's like, yeah, mine's invincible and can regenerate and evolve. And the other one's like, mine has a hot hand.
It's got a finger.
Yeah, super finger or something. It's the Dane Cook Gundam.
It's literally called Shining Finger. I think Alex made that same joke.
Sorry. Super finger.
I hate it.
Yeah, the power of the Gundam is it has a hand, but it calls it a finger, and that's kind of what the appeal is there. And so, honestly, this is a big twist for everybody involved that her dad is so bad. And so she starts pounding on a table over and over again because she's just that's just what you do when you
find out
mad.
Your dad's
yeah.
And she pounds on it, and she goes, you've tricked the innocent Cashew family. And we cut to Prime Minister Wong, the Prime Minister of Hong Kong, and he's only in this episode for like 5 seconds, but he's watching the match between Domon and Miklo Chariot. And
he's only there just enough for you to be like, wait, what? Why is there the Prime Minister of Hong Kong? And then he's gone. Like,
he gives the Raven Gundam so many compliments. He's like, my adorable, wonderful Raven Gundam, you look fantastic.
I wrote that down because the way that the voice actor says it is like he wants to fuck the Gundam.
Yes.
Like he says it.
Donald Trump's the Gundam.
he says it like, my enchanted soaring Raven Gundam, you look fantastic. It's
so sexual.
It's really sexual.
It's like when the escort shows up at the high price bar. Yeah, and he's looking
it's a
at
lot.
It.
Yeah, it's like he wanted the Gundam to do a spin for him. Like that's the vibe
not,
it had.
Blow
it's
on my dice, Gundam.
When it's not any different from when Trump sees the handsome generals.
That's, yes,
he
yeah,
has the same thrill. You know,
he does.
So we cut to the fight, and Soaring Raven Gundam, you're not going to believe this, but it if it was a toy, it would be a plane that transforms into a man. And in man mode, it can do kicks so fast. And you gotta buy it yourself to believe it. And it's kicking Domon 1 million times. And Domon is out loud just being like, this is unreasonable.
This sucks.
How can I possibly defeat him when he can kick me so many times? And so we cut back to Rain, and she has jumper cables out.
I just want to point out, Alex describing what's happening takes longer than the whole episode because nothing in the episode is explained.
Yeah, it's just like flashes.
We're like maybe 10 minutes in.
I just want you, the listener, to understand what's going on, because it's a complicated plot.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying that, like, oh, you're taking a long time. I'm saying it like, this show does not explain enough. Yeah. Like, it needs more.
It's a rich text. There's a lot to explore.
It's a rich text.
And so that's why we're cutting to Rain in the doctor's office with car jumper cables. And she's going to restart Kyoji, who is an android's energy battery converter, and her dad is a doctor, and he's there, and he's like, don't do that. And she's like, whatever, dad.
Yeah.
And so she just puts that thing on him, and he's just like, ah!
Yeah, she
but he's like healing the whole time.
Yeah, she's like putting the car battery like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Reservoir Dogs, but a lot less complicated.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Anyone would understand it. So that's it for the android stuff for a while. We cut back to Domon, which is much less interesting, I'm going to be honest with you. He's trying to hit Miklo Chariot with a burning finger, but he's dodging because he has the speed of a bird Gundam. And Domon's looking down his hand. He's like, my crest is glowing. You know what that means. The Shuffle Alliance.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And so the music changes to like this crazy 1994 techno music. And Argo Kolsky, Neo Russia's champion man, shows up and he saves the day with a crazy rock move. And then Saichi from Neo China hits Soaring Raven Gundam with his nasty flags. Because he shoots flags because he's a dragon. And we get this cool scene where we cut
Katie's
to the
frozen, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, you're not frozen.
No,
you're just listening.
She's just texting. This is you why
were just
have
like
guests on for these.
Sorry. I thought you were frozen. You were very still.
I was checking to see if our Patreon money is coming because I want to make sure this is worth it.
You have to elevate other women, Kath. You can't wrap them out for
no, it's okay.
All out.
It's okay. I deserve to be snitched on.
Keep in mind who the oppressor is. Me and my Gundam. So, anyway, there's the Russian babe in the army. She's floating at sea, and she's, like, on a raft. And then all the side characters are in a boat together, and they fish her out. And they're like, hey, didn't see you there. We're watching this whole G-Gundam thing on cable.
Yeah.
You want to watch it with us?
We got a boat party going on.
Yeah, grab a brew. It's a boat party.
Classic. Your classic boat party where you watch robot fights on the
TV. It is funny, though, that she gets on. She just starts yelling at everyone. The kids are like, geez, say thanks, maybe.
Wow. Throw her back. Yeah, oh, it's the Shuffle Alliance! Yeah!
Do
well,
you know them? Were they in a previous episode?
Kind of.
They're the main characters of the show.
Oh, okay.
Like
again,
Rangers.
we're like 15 minutes in, and the main characters of the show have just been introduced to me, the viewer.
It's a big episode, Kat. You got all that good stuff about the android in it.
Yeah, and, who was the android? I thought the android was the main character.
No, he is an android who is a copy of Domon, the main character's brother, who is evil. I can't
okay.
be
okay.
any more clear than that.
Fair enough. Got it.
The and he's escaped to teach him moves, which he knows more of, even though his brother is supposed to be like the fighting champion of the world. And why doesn't he already know the moves? And it's aside from the point. So, yeah, this fight is nuts.
It's crazy.
Piccolo Chariot is just absorbing their crazy moves and then going bird mode on them. Ah! Buongiorno!
An Italian bird.
Mamma mia!
Arrivederci! Chevrolet Lions! I'm slouching too much. I'm getting sleepy. Okay. So, Kyoji Kashu, back at the hospital, they really spice it up on this. They're cutting back and forth. He has run outside with Rain, and she's like, where are you going to go, Kyoji? And he's like, to the island! Away! And then his Gundam pops out of nowhere, and he, like, hops into it from 1,000 feet away, and she's like, oh, damn, that was cool. And then she smells his jacket for a while.
Yeah, it was weird.
Classic.
Because she misses him.
Yeah,
even though he is not her love interest.
Well, like I said before, I think Kyoji and Rain had a thing in the past off camera, and
based on look, this episode, I buy that.
Look, we got two ladies in the room, Domon or Kyoji. Which one are you picking?
Well,
you get one crazy night.
Kyoji's a robot, and I've never seen hit a woman, so I'm gonna pick him.
That's true. Domon does hit women often, with no
okay.
regrets.
All right. I'll go with the other one, then.
It does seem like the safer choice, but yeah. Hey, Domon, he's the king of hearts, the leader of the Shuffle
Kyoji
of Lives. Maybe that will change your mind.
DG cells, so which means he doesn't have STDs because they're auto-healed.
It's true.
I'm trying to make a pun with DG cells. It's not easy.
I just need you to finish this so I can live my life.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, Rain goes into sexy Gundam goo, and she's getting bondaged up by the goo, and then she has her own Gundam. And it's like not one they had in storage or have introduced before. They're like, surprise, Rising Gundam. Rain's
I like
Rain
that the goo gave her heels. That was cool to me.
Yeah, that is funny.
I liked that.
It's combat heels.
Yeah.
Like, the whole concept of them all having Gundams is, like, every country can afford one Gundam, and they just had an extra one for a doctor? What is that? So, she look out for her. She's gonna do stuff later. I don't think she comes back this episode. So, we cut back to the boys, and they are going beast mode. They're fighting
they
this bird.
Fight.
Fight. They do a triple Gaia crusher and it makes rocks everywhere and it lifts up a secret tunnel and Domon's gonna go through the secret tunnel and get to the Dark Gundam and he says thank you and then Saisaichi says I'm the one who should be thanking you.
Yeah, and it's like, so Kath, they're supposedly all fighting to control the world for 4 years. So,
Okay. It's
weird that, like, they're all like, yeah, Domon, we're all helping you out. It's like, you should just kill him while you have the chance.
Probably, yeah.
No, Katie, this is about the Shuffle Alliance now.
A thing I still don't get what it is.
They're voting blue no matter who now, and they have to defeat the Dark Gundam.
Yeah.
Donald Gundam Trump.
Blue the Gundam Shuffle Lake. Alliance breaks apart when they get near a Tandon and Rahm Emanuel in their cabinet. It destroys the Shuffle Alliance. It's a mess.
Because they're cutting to this Dark Gundam and it's shooting Jared Kushner heads out of the ground.
We gotta get rid of it. We gotta make an alliance.
They have to make a Shuffle Alliance of cards. And we're all cards. And who gets to be the Black Joker? One of the real names of the cards. Yeah, so they fight Michelo Chariot to stall for Domon to go in this tunnel. And so, of course, at this point, they start talking shit, and Argo's like, come here, crazy bird! I stand to make fried chicken out of ya!
Once again, Argo has
really
the
like.
Most to lose at everybody. He's fighting for his freedom. He should just be killing everyone.
He's gonna make fried chicken out of you. That was my favorite line of the episode.
Yeah,
it had a lot of color to it.
Russians aren't exactly known for their fried chicken, so
it's true.
It's a weird choice.
And their mac and cheese. And so they've both gone like Super Saiyan Gundam mode. They're gold, and Sai Saichi jumps above the bird and kicks it out of the air. And then Argo has a big hammer, and he smashes it with the hammer, and it's on the ground, and he's like, ah, ah! And then Sai Saichi stabs him through the face, and he explodes.
Boom.
And then all over the world, everyone's like, oh no, Sai Saichi must be dead.
Yes.
Because I saw an omen. My kung fu necklace is not but marbles now.
Yeah. Zuta some monks dropped some beads, so, you know, we all know what that means.
That must mean Sai Saichi's dead. And then Domon somehow knows Sai Saichi's dead. I'm guessing he's not dead. I don't really remember. But, yeah, he gets an omen. Everyone has an omen. And then Domon is pissed off. And he's swearing mad on his crest at Master Asia.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kick your
fuck
keister,
you,
mister. Hey, Jagoff. Real cool the way you treat your friends. And so he's cursing him out for a bit. Master Rage is standing at the top of this tall cliff, and he's laughing. Me and the Dark Gundam, we're great. And then he says, and I quote, wait till you defeat this guy before running out the mouth.
This show, like, at that point I screamed, I'm like, what is this even? Like, I don't... I hate this show.
It's important to understand, too, the thing that pops out that attacks him is the guy he's beat like four times before. It's General Chapman.
Right.
Of
Once
Neo
again,
England.
What are the rules here? All these people
what
are
the rules?
Eliminated.
What are the stakes?
There's
like,
no
what
rules.
Is happening?
And everything is at stake.
It's like, again, like, this is such a twisty episode. When someone dies, I'm just like, do people just die? Like, is this important, or is this just, like, something that happens all the time, you
it's
know?
It's the most important election of your lifetime.
Exactly.
You gotta vote blue for the Shuffle Alliance. And so that's the episode. It's all come down to this.
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, what did you think? Mobile Fighter G Gundam Episode 42, Assault of the Four Evil Kings Soaring Raven Gundam by the Toys. Starting with Team KRL, Katie Rose Leon.
I'm going to give it 2 Dragon Balls. It was a show that was made, and there were some loud noises that got my attention.
Right. Yeah, there were some loud noises. I really like that. And I like some of the fighting stuff was better than usual.
Yeah. I kind of like the bird robot. It just should have had any sort of reason for existing before this episode, but that's fine.
That's a good point. Kath, out of 7 Dragon Balls, what are you giving it?
You know, I don't know if I can, like, rate this on a scale, like a straightforward numerical scale. I don't know if I can, because it's just, like, I have no metric to rate it against. It's, like, I give it, like a 3 Dragon Balls locked together in those rings that make an optical illusion. Because it's,
okay,
like, unquantifiable to me.
Yeah.
Okay,
so, yeah,
well,
I give
I'm
it 3.
I'm going to count it as 3 for
sure.
The record. Because people are keeping extensive track of these. I'm going to give this one, I will say also 3, because it was scatterbrained, but all of the Android stuff. The second they said Schwarzbruder was an Android, I was like, full stamp of approval. This is just the direction I want this show to take 100%. It's just soap opera twists every episode. And they gave Rain her own Gundam, which is pretty wacky.
That was cool.
That was cool.
Well,
she has
another
heels
day,
it,
another Gundam.
Another day, another Gundam. And so we're left laughing at the end of the day. So much fun watching this great show. Kath, thanks for coming back and watching it again with us. The progenitor, the one who started it all.
Anytime.
Where can our listeners find you?
I'm Kath Barbadoro on Twitter, BARBADORO. I'm currently getting yelled at a lot on there, so hopefully that'll stop by the time this episode comes out. I have What a Time to Be Alive and Lie, Cheat, and Steal are my 2 podcasts. What a Time to Be Alive comes out every week. Lie, Cheat, and Steal is a true crime podcast. We do 1 free episode a month, and we have 2 bonus episodes on our Patreon. We're also selling t-shirts right now. So that's What a Time Pod on Twitter for What a Time to Be Alive, and LCS Podcast on Twitter for Lie, Cheat, Steal.
That was the most professional plug section we have had on this show.
Thank you. Maybe I try to compress
people
it.
People lose their goddamn minds.
Yeah. They're like, I got a dog. Shout out to him.
Yeah, Jeremy's just been plugging his baby every week. That's not anything.
Check out my baby.
Keep my baby alive. What? How am I supposed to do that? That's not a t-shirt. Oh, well. I look forward to watching another 9 of these, and then we're going to watch something else. I wonder what it will be.
I wonder.
And to celebrate
really
that theme of mystery, here is a mysterious song.
Smoke from the Lucy drip, hold it like a crucifix. Blow from the nose, I'm a dragon to a nose. Got an average of being excellent, the median just dope. Like the ratio of heroin, the laxative is sold. Authorities have spoken, a man of the pure devotion. Get magnetized to the ground while the falcons of murder closing. I chose to go guano, yano, kind of bad shit. The bright lights of fuckery stalking me automatic. A teabag of piranha tank, heart barely beating, a wild one. I swim like the wreck, the after he's eating. We're holding a toaster rubber and it's plugged with a fork in it. Cause death by electrocution's like life in New York, in it. Should've been a dentist. Mom said it pains the way that my craft expresses. Born in a little shop of horrors, I can't even afford to rent it. Where's the exit? Wanna talk shop, I can chop it up with Exacto Touch. What's the rush? Autograph skin flash. Tag them on. I don't brag up, you date back those suck. Hey. I ain't new to the alphabet, the male you. Kinda like, fuck is you. I'm a little back spot on the sound of lies, and I'm not too high to say I'm the truth. I line the booth to cast blood like a pavement. Nathan's sacred, I'll make some playpen. True runner bitch, make the name stick. Not for sale, but I'm taking payment. Bye. Flies up Pegasus, that's no embellishment. I'm here to paint the whole game where the etc. in. Good pussy, good marijuana, that be my medicine. And I'm a mixture of MJG and the government. A revolutionary banging on my adversaries. And I love Dr. King, but violence might be necessary. Cause when you live on MLK and it gets very scary, you might have to pull your AK, send one to the cemetery. We overworked, underpaid, and we underprivileged. They love us, why? Because we feed the village. You really made it or just became a prisoner of privilege. You willing to share that information that you've been given? Like, who really run this? Like, who really run that man that say he run this? Who really run that man that say he run this? Run this? Like, who really fun this? Like, who really fun? Who say he fun this? Like, who in the world gonna tell Duster who to put on the UK come list? Now, don't be silly. Who the fuck gonna bully me if I got a billion? If I got a billion, a bitch recording me, I'm like, who cares? When I wouldn't be is on TV, stuttering, talking scared. So the question is, when does at home that trade ass bitch alone? Who's that voice on the side of the phone that shakes and rattles his bone? Could it be the man behind the man behind the man behind the throne? Gone.